Hi, everyone. Welcome to episode 15 of the From the Outside with Sarah C. podcast. I am Sarah Crosscut, the host and creator of this podcast and the owner and facilitator of From the Outside, a series of plant and nature-based lessons that help us to cultivate a deeper relationship to the natural world, ourselves, and each other. In addition, I am a published environmental writer. My work has been included in several anthologies published by Plants and Poetry Journal, www.plantsandpoetry.org, and Wild Roof Journal, www.wildroofjournal.com. You can learn more and find links on my website, www.fromtheoutsidellc.com. A fairy circle or fairy ring is a naturally occurring phenomenon that is observed in nature when mushrooms, the fruiting bodies of fungi, emerge from underground and create a visible ring. Inspired by this magical circle, I have developed a model that helps us connect more purposefully and intentionally to nature. My fairy circle model is a sphere that extends above ground and below ground. It is here where we find interconnection to all things. Above ground, through our time in nature, in silence, solitude, and stillness, we tap into our feelings and emotions, our ring of mushrooms that create our fairy circle on the forest floor. Below ground, from our ring of visible mushrooms, are seven fruiting bodies of feelings and emotions, beauty, joy, love, gratitude, wonder, awe, and peace. We find interconnectedness, kinship, harmony, and balance. We also unearth our sense of belonging, purpose, and part in the natural world. In past podcast episodes, I have discussed each of the seven fruiting bodies individually and shared simple activities to help listeners connect more purposefully and intentionally to these feelings and emotions while spending time in nature. You may want to listen to any previous episodes you may have missed to get the full scope and idea of the fairy circle model as a means of purposefully and intentionally connecting to nature. In this episode 15, we continue our exploration into our deeper connections that we began in episode 12, these below ground, really big connections. In episode 12, we talked about kinship, episode 13, harmony, and episode 14, balance. Today, we explore purpose. So purpose is defined as the reason something exists, is done, or created. It is a deliberate process or an intentional act. Nothing in nature is insignificant. Each living thing or non-living element has a purpose in the larger system, the system in which we are all an integral part. Often, as humans, we define our purpose simply through the labels we are given or have earned or are performing in at the moment. Things like mom, teacher, friend, spouse, counselor, etc. So the roles which we perform in our daily lives. Like the objects in nature, we often label with a specific characteristic or role, like pest, parasite, predator. Our purpose is deeper, it's more complex and often undiscovered. So let me share an example of my own personal experience. So for many years, I had earned and was given the title teacher or educator. As my career evolved, holistic private school, where I often played the role of counselor or mentor, curriculum specialist, program developer, and so on, I began to feel boxed in as teacher or the other roles or characters in education that I embodied. I knew I needed to move forward. It was my part and maybe connected to my purpose, but not my true purpose in life. It was time to move forward. So I returned to school in 2012 to earn my master's in environmental science in 2015 at 51 years of age. I knew I needed a push to get out of education, so a master's degree was a personal goal. Plus, I knew professionally it would move me, hopefully help to move me forward. As I continued my path to find my deeper, more complex, and undiscovered purpose, I spent more time alone, time in stillness, silence, and solitude, outdoors, in nature. I began to listen to my own small inner voice, not everyone around me, find my center, explore my essence, and acknowledge my authentic self. I spent so much time really thinking about my strengths, my values, and my passions. I knew I was valued and appreciated in my role as a teacher, but I needed something more, something creative, inspirational, and simple. My strengths and values included so many of the characteristics and elements that made me an effective and well-loved teacher, but I no longer felt passion in my part as educator. Now, with that said, in my enthusiasm for the natural world and its systems, the big picture interconnectedness of humans to nature, to ourselves and to each other, and my communication and relationships with students, yes, I was very much still passionate about those things. So that was what I still loved and was passionate about in the role of teacher. However, it was not enough. I needed something where I could consistently create on my own terms, immerse myself in the endless inspiration with nature, and then passionately share with others. After 10 years of self-discovery, From the Outside LLC was created and continues to grow. My innate form, my shape, my embodiment, and my essence are always present in the elements of our strengths, values, passions, feelings, and emotions. We just need to uncover, connect, and cultivate with these characteristics that are the foundation and the fertilizer for our unique individual perspective and purpose. If we tap into these characteristics, they guide us to our purpose. Each of us unique and significant in our place in the larger system of nature. In addition to the parts we play through the course of our life, our purpose is also found in our function, the lens through which we view and connect with the world around us. And that can change over the course of our life as our experiences may alter our path. In natural systems, each species and organisms within that species plays a role. Ecologists use the 50-cent term niche or niche to describe how an organism or population of organisms respond to the resources available, the physical and environmental conditions of their habitat, and the interactions that they have with other organisms. So relationships like predator-prey, parasitism, mutualism, those trophic levels, those energy levels and nutrition levels of like food chain and food web. So often my students would confuse the terms habitat and niche. They kind of thought that they were the same thing. So I would always tell them a habitat is where an organism lives, like their address, but a niche is the role it plays, its purpose through its form, which is adapted to where it lives and its function, how it exists day to day in its habitat, what it does, who or what it interacts with, how is it significant to the larger community. And no two species can have the same niche. Each is unique and significant. Some species have a very narrow niche. These are specialist species. An example is the koala that only eats eucalyptus leaves in Australia. So if eucalyptus leaves were to disappear on the Australian continent, koalas would have to adapt quickly to a new food source or face extinction. Some species, some that we are very familiar with in the Virginia area, like the white-tailed deer, coyotes, and weedy plants, have a broad niche. These are generalist species that can adapt and thrive in many habitats. These are the species whose populations will continue to grow or have continued to grow, even in the destruction and fragmentation of their habitat. As we have seen in white-tailed deer populations and coyote populations in suburban and urban areas. Although there are many organisms that seem insignificant, scientists continue to uncover the details of their complex form and function, and our body of knowledge around these organisms continues to grow. However, like everything else in the natural world, their absolute significance may remain a mystery. And I talked a little bit about this in the last two podcasts of Balance and Harmony. We may know a lot about the natural world, but we don't know all of those intricate details and connections. Natural systems are infinitely intricate, but unquestionably adaptable and resilient. Going with the rhythm and flow, many organisms can alter their form and function to thrive. Within a community, there are some species with unique habitat and diet requirements that respond almost immediately to changes in environmental conditions. If they reproduce quickly, have a large population size, and widespread distribution, these species may be labeled as indicator species. Indicator species can be easily studied and monitored by scientists to indicate or show the effects of pollution, climate change, or habitat modification on a particular community. About 70% of indicator species are invertebrates. Some examples of indicator species are mayflies. Their larvae live in freshwater streams, so they are very sensitive to water pollution in freshwater, and scientists can monitor this by studying mayfly larvae. Marsh periwinkles, they are a small snail that you see in marsh habitats. They are also very sensitive to pollution. Salamanders have permeable skin, and so they can often... they absorb things through their skin, so they can tell scientists about the health of forests or other habitats. The monarch butterfly can indicate its population numbers and distribution, help us to indicate where their habitat loss is, the use of pesticides and the effects, and then climate change. And then bats, they are indicators of habitat loss and fragmentation, light pollution, heavy metal pollution, urbanization, drought, and agricultural changes. There are many indicator species in all kinds of habitats and communities. Perhaps it is one purpose of the indicator species to communicate to humans. They are significant species that share so much information with our species, but are affected so significantly by human action, positive or negative. On our path through life, our forms, roles, or parts may change. Our jobs, our friends, our partners, but our purpose, how we view the world, our voice, our interconnectedness to others, including nature around us, our unique movement through life, in our significant place, the space we take up and share with others in the universe lies deep within us and can be unearthed through finding our niche. We discover our strengths, our values, our passions, tap into our feelings and emotions. But how? Well, there are as many paths to self-discovery as there are roles we play throughout our lifetime. But my teacher and co-creator is nature. So how do we explore deeper than our part, our roles, or our roles, and unearth our purpose, which I like to call our magic, because it's unique and individual. So here's how we can do it in a general way, and then I'm going to share a specific activity that you can do in nature to help you start really digging deeper and uncovering that purpose for which you were placed here, your significance. So the first way is embrace and embody the growth mindset. Do something daily to move yourself forward. Try something new. Spend some of your time in nature. Spend it alone, quiet, and still. This turns down the volume around you and strengthens the connection to yourself, connecting your head to your heart. And you begin to hear your voice over the chatter around you. Explore your strengths, values, passions, feelings, and emotions, particularly the emotions of joy, beauty, love, wonder, awe, gratitude, and peace. When do you feel them? Kind of the why, what, where, when, how of all of those emotions. So my model, the Fairy Circle Way, facilitates these explorations through a series of activities in nature. And I suggest listening to prior podcast episodes for simple, specific activities. Find inspiration in nature, in art, in literature. Explore, again, the where, when, how, and why, and what of your inspirational moments. And journal all of this stuff. Write it down. And then connect to the larger system. Sometimes we do this through gratitude. Connect to the larger system of community and the natural world. So I'm going to leave you with a simple practice today. As always, you need a writing utensil and a journal. Some of you may take your notes on your phone, and that's good, but you just need to make sure that you're writing things down so that you can go back and look and you begin to see a pattern. So find a spot to sit outdoors. It can be as close as your front porch or your deck, or even an open window if you live in a high-rise building. Maybe crack the window if you don't want to open it up all the way. Take some breaths, some deep breaths, and ground yourself in the moment and in the space. I want you to sit still, alone, and silent. And I want you to tap into the season, the current cycle of nature. So as I record this podcast, it is fall, or autumn. So you want to tap into the season. And then reflect and journal your observations and answers to the following questions. So the first question is, what is one thing you notice that nature is doing in the present moment, in the present season, to prepare for the next season, for the future? The second question, name one thing that you are experiencing right now in this setting that inspires you. Why does it inspire you? What about it inspires you? The third question is list three things about the current season for which you are grateful. And the fourth question is, in this moment, how do you feel connected to the larger system of the natural world around you? So these are four questions that can get you started. We can, of course, go much deeper than just these four questions, but this is a simple activity that can help get you started. And as always, I encourage you as listeners to share your experiences in cultivating your purposeful and intentional relationship with nature. I would love to hear how your practice is progressing. My email is fromtheoutsidellc@gmail.com. So please, please feel free to reach out. So before I go, I have a couple of announcements. I do have an essay coming out. My latest publication is soon to be published in Plants and Poetry Journals, Plant People, an Anthology of Environmental Artists, Volume 3. I believe it's coming out this month, and their website is www.plantsandpoetry.org. So if you follow me on Instagram, I'm Sarah_C_outside. I will make an announcement there, or you can visit my website for the publishing date. I'm not sure what that is yet. And then there is one upcoming opportunity in person this Sunday, October 29th at Powhatan State Park. I am leading a mindful movement hike at 2 p.m. The parking location is the E. Floyd Yates Conservation Area parking lot. So we are going to fully engage our senses and our body as we mindfully move through the pine forest. So if you are in the Richmond area or close, I would love to connect in person, get outside, and do some purposeful and intentional connecting with you and with nature. So for more information, you can visit www.dcr.virginia.org and click on Powhatan State Park and scroll down to see all the events that are happening at this absolutely stunning Virginia State Park. Well, thank you so much for listening. I encourage you to venture out to your backyard, a local park, a green space near where you work, and spend a few minutes purposefully and intentionally connecting with nature. Use your whole body, really integrate into your being what you see, smell, hear, and feel. Spend time with those you love or sit in silence, solitude, and stillness. They are important states of being in nurturing our nature connections. Acknowledge nature's wisdom and role in your life. Nature shows us how beautiful and transformative growth can be. Remember, we are all connected to the source of life and each other. With that said, you can connect with me through my website, www.fromtheoutsidellc.com, or on Instagram at Sarah_C_outside. Links to podcasts, website, publications, webinars, and all the things can be found there. Visit my website for upcoming classes in the local community, webinars, latest publications, and details on workshops available for educational settings, professional development, recovery programs, conferences, or other groups. And as always, please feel free to reach out. I love it when people share their stories and their aha moments that they get when they're doing this work. Because it's such important work for you, for our natural world, and for our community. So until next time, take care.